Various sources came up with any number from 70 to 96. We know he died when he was 110, but he was somewhere between 70 and 96 when he took over leading the children of Israel. So he was not a young man by any means. But there's the lovely verse in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Now, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And there's a lovely... Oh, have I got power now? When I want to. Oh, power. Do I have to point it anywhere?
No.
Yeah, I just do it. Okay. So... Moses laid his hands on Joshua and he received the blessing of God and the anointing that he was going to need for leading the children of Israel into the promised land. And here in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has just been appointed and he's setting out on this journey. And four times in that chapter, he is given these words, be strong and very courageous. And also verse 5 of chapter 1 says, a promise from God, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I think maybe some of us this morning are perhaps facing challenging situations, and yet that verse can be as real for you today as it was for Joshua back all those years ago. And I'll read it again. Chapter 1, verse 5. As I, the Lord, was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then we move on to chapter 2, and it's the story of Joshua sending the two spies into Jericho, and they ended up in Rahab's house on the wall. Now the king of Jericho got wind that the spies were in the city, and so the king sent to Rahab's house and asked her to give up the spies. And they searched her house. But Rahab had hidden the spies under the flax, under the straw, drying on her roof. And then when it was safe, she helped the two spies escape through the window via a rope over the wall. But, as you remember, Rahab asked to be spared when the battle came. But there were conditions. Firstly, of course, there had to be the scarlet cord showing in her window. And then secondly, all the family and friends that she wanted to be saved had to be in that house. So the spies said, yes, we are happy to go along with your request. You've been kind to us, but there will be two conditions. Then we go on to chapters 3 and 4, and we have the miraculous crossing of the River Jordan, the 12 priests with the Ark of the Covenant, and the minute their foot touched the waters heaped up upstream, and they were able to cross the River Jordan on dry land. And of course, this is very reminiscent of the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. But then in chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I just love that verse. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I think that's an exciting verse for Network too, as we seek to prepare and consecrate ourselves for that which the Lord has got ahead for us as a church. Then we come to chapter 5, And chapter 5 is a time of consecration and preparation. And in verse 10, there is the celebration of the Passover. The children of Israel were getting nearer Jericho. And in verse 13, Joshua looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. Now, Joshua knew that this was something very, very special. This was a very spiritual experience. And he knew that God was speaking to him. And Joshua fell on his face in reverence. And he was told to take off his shoes. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And who else received this command? Come on. Moses, yes, of course, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, when Moses was in the desert working as a shepherd for his father-in-law, he saw the burning bush and he heard the voice. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then God gives Moses the plan or strategy to deliver the Israelites from captivity in Egypt. And in the same way, God gives Joshua a plan and he is commissioned for the task ahead. So, what did God say to Joshua? Well, we're going to listen carefully now to some verses from chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, and we're going to hear what God said to Joshua.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in."
Wow! What instructions! Very precise that God gave to Joshua. So, yes, days 1 to 6, march round once, go back to camp. Day 7, march round 7 times. Now, you might think of a big town. Now, Jericho was about the size of 7.5 football fields. So it was a reasonable size, but not huge, huge, and quite within the capability, because you think, I walked around St Albans, well, I've done it a couple of times, and it was about 13 miles, and it took me about 4 hours. So if I'd had to do that 7 times in one day, it wouldn't have been quite possible. Well, so Jericho was not as big as that. But in verse 7, Joshua says to the people, advance and march. And so those were the instructions. Oh, isn't it getting exciting? And in verse 9, the order of marching was very important. First of all, there was the armed guard. And then there were the 7 priests with the 7 trumpets. And then there was the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the 10 commandments on 2 tablets of stone. Aaron's rod that budded. And lastly, the pot of manna. Brilliant, lovely. And of course, the Ark was the symbol of God's presence. And then finally, there was the rear guard. And that order was laid down by God. That was the order that would bring about success. And that was the order to which Joshua and the children of Israel were obedient. Now, the trumpets weren't like the trumpets that we're going to have this morning when we act out this story. The trumpets were actually made from the horn of a ram and were curved and, of course, called the shofar, which was taken to war so that the troop would know when the battle was to begin. And so the instructions for the blowing of the shofars were very precise too. But then in verse 10, there was a solemn warning to the people. Number one, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word. So, effectively, the walking round was in silence. The marching, they weren't to shout, they weren't to speak. But then, how was the battle going to end? Right, the first thing with the taking of Jericho, after walking round the seven times, the trumpets were to sound a long blast. Now, this was a signal to the people that the action was about to begin, but also it would have caused, I think, fear and panic and confusion to the inhabitants of Jericho. And also, in the anticipation, these shofars were going to announce that the presence of the Lord was there, the spiritual significance of God being there, ready to bring about deliverance. Then the people were to shout very, very loud. So we've got to get in training for that. The people shouted very, very loud. And then the wall collapsed and the people marched into the city. Their livestock were destroyed. And of course, they didn't forget Rahab, the two men who had hidden in Rahab's house, went and they rescued her and her family. And then the city was burned. But what is the significance behind this? It was a battle against wickedness. God was destroying not only the Canaanite cities, but also the Canaanite religion. And God was using Joshua to lead the fight against wickedness in the enemies of God's people. What sort of wickednesses do we face in our fight against wickedness today? And I've come up with some ideas, but I want to challenge you, and we'll think a bit later, about the wickednesses that we may, there may be even some in our own lives that we're battling with, or that we see in the communities around us, and especially within our nation. And we as Christians need to know how to react. What sort of wickednesses are there? Well, there's disrespect when we don't honour the people around us who deserve honour. And of course, amongst young people today, disrespect is something that's very prevalent often in their lives. We can face unkindness, and we often can be unkind, not only in deed, but in word, and we can hurt people. There's rejection of people in the school playground. A new person can come and we can say, oh, don't want to be their friend. And also There is bullying in the workplace, and bullying is all part of rejection. And there's stealing, taking things that don't belong to us, and we can water down the edge of stealing to, you know, pens from work, plastic bags, things like that. You know, where do we see, draw the line that God is saying, thou shalt not steal? Cheating. It was very interesting in Karen's group a couple of weeks ago. I was giving a test to the Muslim ladies to see what they'd learnt, to try and justify myself that my teaching was good, you see. So I devised this little quiz, I called it, and I'd given it out to the ladies. And there was one lady that came late, and she can hardly speak English, she can hardly write English, but all she was doing was trying to look and see what everybody else was writing. And even though it was upside down, she was trying to copy. And of course, the whole idea of having these little tests is to assess. And I'd brought some big books, and I was sort of trying to surreptitiously put them so that she couldn't see. But every time I moved the book closer, she'd move further. And it was so sweet. It really was. But, you know, I had to laugh. But, you know, she was trying to cheat. So the end result, she got 18%, I think. So the test wasn't particularly good. But just the way that there's something in us, if we don't know something, we want to find out in any way. And then, of course, there's disobedience. And that is something that we face, even disobedience within families, even to disobedience to God. And then lying. Now, how should we react in the face of these wickednesses? Well, I would like to suggest that the way God would ask us to react is to react in the opposite spirit. In the opposite spirit, and just pour God's love into those situations. So, all together, what's the opposite spirit of disrespect?
Respect.
To unkindness? Kindness. To rejection? Acceptance. To stealing? Honesty. To cheating? Trustworthiness. Disobedience. Obedience. And lying? Truth. Lovely. And if we need a cell challenge for this week, that would be my challenge. How do we, what opportunities and what testimonies and experiences have we had similar to my sort of cheating example? What sort of situations do we face, maybe at work, where we are facing dishonesty or disrespect or cheating? And how can we perhaps pray with each other, and to how we have the strength to deal with these wickednesses? So, Joshua had a strategy that was given to him from God to beat and get into Jericho, and he followed this strategy. So the first thing he did was he got a plan from God. He then had to be obedient, and then in the end he was, then he was able to see success. And when we face difficulties, when we face wickednesses, when we face problems, are we open to go to God and say, God, I want a plan from you for this particular situation in my life? And when we listen to God and when we hear God, then we have the challenge, are we going to be obedient? And if we are, then God will give us success. We will see success God will bring about a change in that situation. But it's not easy, and we face it. It's problems all the time, but in whose strength are we going to march and advance into these situations we face? Yes, we do it not in our own strength. We do it, Jesus, the Lord is there to give us the strength and the encouragement, just as he was with Joshua. So he will be with us in the situations that we find ourselves, that we have to face. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that Joshua, when you revealed yourself to him, he just took his shoes off, he fell on the ground because he knew you were trying to speak to him. He then listened to you and was obedient, and you were able to use that strategy to bring about the defeat of the people in Jericho and the beginning of the destruction of the Canaanite religion. And although, Lord, there were lots of other battles to face, this one was the one that Joshua, today we can say he did the strategy you gave, he was obedient, and you were able to bring about deliverance, and the Joshua was able to take Jericho. And we thank you for that. And Father, we just ask for us now today, that as we face various things in our own lives, that Lord, you will enable us to listen to you, to go with your plan, to be obedient to your plan, and to see success. So Lord, we ask you to do this, and to help us to do this and bring it to fruition in our own lives and our own circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.